Back here at Bridgestone Arena, Jack Daniels Barrel House. Tonight's the Predators and the Arizona Coyotes. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6 right here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Joe Rexroad, columnist for the Tennessean, alongside Willie Donick, will join us a little bit later in the show. In fact, a little bit later, third hour, we will head to Houston. Mike Vrabel is set to interview for the Titans head coaching position today, defensive coordinator for the Texans. So we'll find out a little bit more about Mike Vrabel in the third hour of the program. Richard Deitch, Sports Illustrated, author of The Media Circus, on the line with us. Richard, how you doing?
What's up? How are you guys?
Doing wonderful. A little cold here, a little nippy in Nashville, but, you know, it is January. We'll adjust. It looks like...
Did it snow in Nashville? Or
it did.
Cold? Yes.
It did.
School's been off all week. For 3 inches.
You guys okay? You want me to send milk and shovels? Are you okay?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that there is any more milk at the grocery store. Milk and bread seem to
disappear. I will say this. You know, obviously, whenever snow happens in the South or, Southeast, you know, see all these stories and sort of this people in the Northeast who are like, you know, always mocking like the South. You know, you guys are scared, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I've lived in New York City for the last 20 years. Trust me. When, like, big snowstorms come to, you go to, like, the local supermarket or bodega, there's, like, no milk here either. So, you know, trust me on that. You guys aren't the only ones who are doing that.
Thank you for saying
Richard,
that.
Richard, setting the record straight. I love it. Yeah. Good start. So it looks like Thursday Night Football may be switching networks. So that seems to be the vibe, and I don't know if ABC and ESPN is the front runners. Where is that headed?
That's a good question. The person who's really been on top of the reporting here is John Olrand, Sports Business Daily. So all props to him. And he reported that, you know, ESPN / ABC is very serious about making a bid for Thursday Night Football, which would really be interesting if they ended up getting it. Just one, it has to change the ABC schedule, and two, would give ESPN two nights of the week where they do NFL football. And, you know, there was some talk, or I guess it was kicked around not too long ago, the idea of maybe ESPN getting away from the NFL, but I mean, this would obviously be the exact counter. They'd be more involved in the NFL. Their Monday night schedule is never very good, so this, I guess, would be a little bit of a buttress against that. So that's interesting. I still expect NBC and CBS to bid. They may lowball is probably not the right word. They may bid less than they bid the last time. Although, as a general rule, you should always bet on television networks bidding more for rights than you think, because they're always fearful of somebody else getting those rights. Is it possible Turner or Fox can get involved? Definitely. I certainly read the other day about Fox kicking around the idea of maybe putting the game on Fox, maybe having some of the stuff on FS1 as well. And then, of course, you still have your digital players like the Amazons and the Twitters of the world. So it's interesting. I would not be surprised if Thursday Night Football changes hands in some form. The only thing I think the NFL will be consistent, because they've been consistent throughout here, is they want that game on national television, or I should say over-the-air television. So I don't think you're going to see the Thursday Night Football game, at least the first part of the schedule, on ESPN only. You know, you may still see the back end of that on the NFL Network and ESPN type, but ABC, if ESPN gets it, it's going to have that. Fox is going to get that game if they get that. You know, NBC or CBS. That's the one thing I think the NFL still remains clear on, is they want their product on over-the-air television. But, you know, just when you think you're reading all these stories and these narratives about the NFL dead, ratings are down, blah, 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 look how many people still want to bid on this product. Yeah. So I would just be cautious when you read people who are telling you that the NFL is in all sorts of financial trouble, because it's usually not the case.
Looks like ESPN is also going to bring back some familiar faces Sunday night for NFL primetime. Hey, good, go. Oh, the Chris Berman, Tom Jackson. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as you know, I'm not the biggest Chris Berman fan, and that will be consistent to this day. I thought he sort of had become a caricature of himself on many different forums, and was such an enabler of the NFL, to be blunt. I mean, you know, him interviewing Roger Goodell, you know, was about as tough as me interviewing my three-year-old. That said, I am – well, actually, take that back, because my three-year-old is probably a harder interview than Roger Goodell, to be very honest, at this point. But, you know, I think it's great, because there – I would never – as much as I don't particularly love Berman, I would never discount how important that show that he and Tom Jackson did to the NFL landscape. They essentially created the long-form NFL highlight show. Primetime was a great – amazing, fun show to watch in the late 80s and early 90s after those games. He and Tom Jackson had a great rapport, and I've always been a big Tom Jackson guy. I think he was underrated historically for his whole career. He was a very thoughtful voice on so much stuff. He actually, to his credit even, like, really beat himself up during the Rush Limbaugh stuff, saying that he should have challenged Limbaugh more on the air. So he always struck me as a pretty honorable dude. And so I think it's great. I'm glad to see them back. Tom Jackson, to his everlasting credit, was a guy who walked away from ESPN, didn't give any interviews, just sort of walked out quietly, didn't complain, didn't do anything else, just sort of walked into the sunset, so to speak. So I think it's cool. You know, again, I don't want to be a hypocrite here. I'm not a Berman fan at all, but I think it's great that they're going back on the air, and I'll probably check it out, and good for those guys to get one more show.
Yeah, me too. Small doses, you know, I'll check it out for sure. I'll be – going on the Tom Jackson when they do the Vikings, you know, they talk about the Vikings-Eagles game. I want to hear Teddy Bridgewater from Louisville. I just want to hear that from Tom Jackson.
That is cool. Yeah.
I got to deal with him a lot, Radio Rows during Super Bowls when I used to go cover the Super Bowls, Richard. And he honestly could not be more of a nicer human being. I mean, he just.
Yeah, he's. I mean, his reputation from everybody inside Bristol was that he was a class act. And by the way, there's a lot of people who love Berman, too. You know, inside of there. He doesn't have the same rep as Tom Jackson did, but Tom Jackson is a unique figure at ESPN, and that he really, you know, he's one of those guys where you just did not hear anybody say a bad word about him. There are others in the business, Holly Rowe, Shelly Smith, Doris Burr. You just don't hear, you know, certain people in the business who just, like, have these reputations where you don't hear people say a bad word about him, either on the air or off the air, and Tom Jackson had that rep. So that does not surprise me that on Radio Row during the Super Bowl, he would be a cool dude. That said, you know, let's also be just totally 100% here with the audience. You know, you are promoting him. So in those situations, like whenever I hear, especially a sports media person is a jerk in those situations, it's infuriating because generally speaking, all that's happening is they are getting promoted. So to act like a diva or to act like a jerk usually is the big tell that you are a, I can't say this word on your airwaves.
Yep.
So that's usually a good tell there.
No doubt. You know, we've talked so much about the ratings, especially on the NFL side. The story coming out that the Jets up in your neck of the woods, they're getting rid of certain PSL. I guess it's the I can't remember the exact area, but there's certain areas they're getting rid of public seat licensing fees.
Right.
And they're also going to lower the ticket prices. Do you think this is where things are headed as we're talking about it's tough to get people to show up to really anything anymore? Do you think this is where it's headed?
Well, I think you should raise the prices because it's just such an incredible product when those guys are on the field. I mean, take my money, please. I mean, here. I think especially in a place like New York, the amount of greed – that the owner showed when it came to the personal seat licenses and ticket sales is just abhorrent, and I'm glad they're getting it handed to them. Do I think that would bring more people? That's a good question. You know, there's probably smarter business people than me to figure out what is the price point where you can offer something which would get people back into your stadium. The reality is, and this is a big – I think this personally is a bigger issue for the NFL than television, is how do you make the stadium experience better – and how do you make the stadium experience like at least three-quarters as good as the TV home experience? Because the game is really great on television, HD, you know, all these fantasy options. You get to play with your computer. You know, you don't have to walk far for food. You don't have to pay for parking. It's such a great TV game that you really need some incentivizing to get to the stadium. So some of the things that have to be great at a stadium are Wi-Fi, food, sight lines. If you have a family, you can't have knuckleheads in the crowd, and that is an issue for the NFL, in my opinion, in certain cities. I mean, let's just be totally blunt. Like, they have a lot of people who just get liquored up before the game, head inside, and cause trouble. And you know, on the one hand, if you're like 23-year-old dude and like that might be fun for you to sort of be in that world, but you know, you're a 40-year-old father and mother, and you want to take your two kids who love the NFL. You're throwing down a lot of money for a family of four. You know, that is just not a world you want to be a part of. You want to go to a stadium where you feel like, you know, my family could sort of sit here and not have to deal with knuckleheads. And that's something I think the NFL has to clean up in every city. And then when you're talking about, just lastly, like you mentioned, like in places like New York, I mean, they just, that's where their hubris and greed came in. They just basically figured that people want that product so much they'd be willing to pay for a seat license, and then after that to pay for actual prices of the tickets for the game. So I'm very glad they got that handed to them, because that, you know, that's just egregious to me. That's just really that's corporate greed gone wild. But that's the big issue for them, I think, or one of the big issues for them is, how do you make that stadium experience close to what is a great experience at home watching the game?
Yeah, and I feel like there's a big difference, Richard, between a lot of college atmospheres and the NFL atmospheres in that way.
100%.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I'll tell you guys a story. My family went to the Titans-Packers game last year. I don't know why, but my 10-year-old wore his Detroit Lions jersey. I mean, I really don't know why. But, like, drunken Packers fans are, like, screaming profanity at him from the crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's not enjoyable. I know some places have, like, family sections, but it's hard to – you know, to totally close off on that. But I also don't know how you really, I guess, police that. You're not going to stop selling alcohol. I had a question for you, Richard, on the NFL, on the ESPN bid for Thursday. ESPN, of course, for a long time has had, you know, the college football, and at times really good college football games on Thursday night. So if they're into this, would that mean, you know, maybe like Fox gets into that? I mean, obviously they can't have both.
No, this is a guess. My guess is that they would do one of two things. They would make that game the ESPN2 game and try to push the Thursday Night Football package really hard on ESPN2.
Okay.
Or, and I don't know if they could do this, obviously you'd need a college football writer who covers the day-to-day. Could the contracts for some of these conferences be shifted where they play Friday night, and then you make Friday night the sort of the ESPN, like, equivalent of what Thursday used to be? But I think what they would do, and this is an advantage for having the scale they have, is I think they would just shift that to ESPN2 and make that, you know, that package's like sort of big thing. The problem, though, and this is a real one, is if you have the NFL on ESPN and you have college football on ESPN2 at the same time, you're going to kill that college football rating outside of obviously the markets that are really interested in that college football game. So you would, in terms of the selling of advertising against whatever viewership number you're promising, that viewership number goes down because just the NFL, you know, sucks up so many viewers. But I don't think that's a bad problem to have. I mean, you know, these guys at ESPN have the benefit of having so many different networks that you can figure out the programming challenges. You know, if you get the inventory, you figure out the other stuff. I think it's just a very interesting story to watch because – money, they pay the most money for the NFL, which is incredible because they have, you know, arguably the fourth best schedule out of the big dogs who are involved in football. And for them to double down on another package is just really, really interesting, just given that the NFL historically has kind of screwed around with ESPN's game schedule compared to the NBC's, Fox's, and CBS's.
So are we to look at this then, Richard, and conclude that, you know, some of this narrative that we've been talking about, for, especially this year, but really the last couple of years, a little bit overblown on the concerns about the NFL? I mean, obviously down, but still dominant. I mean, does this invalidate some of that?
Yeah, listen, it's a real story. I mean, the NFL ratings are down. You can't, like, that is, unlike fake news, that is real news. They're down, you know, 19%, 18%, 20% over the last 2 years. But what you have to sort of step back is the base that they are coming from is still far and away blowing out everything else on television. 37 of the top 50 television programs in the United States over this calendar year. So from, you know, when I talk to you today in January, you go back to last January 2017. That is NFL programming. Nothing comes close in terms of dominating the television landscape like the NFL. They're still getting paid millions, billions of dollars from the television rights holders, and those contracts continue on until 2021. And once again, they have, for this Thursday night package that they created, which quite frankly can be horrible football, they have multiple bidders on the package. And finally, if you look, whenever a team is either up for sale or potentially relocating, as we just saw the Raiders do to Vegas, look at what the valuations on the franchises are. So, yeah, it's absolutely overblown. The television story is a real issue. And, you know, we could debate till the cows come home as to why that is, between cord cutting, saturation of games. For the life of me, I don't want to hear people continue to say it's because of Colin Kaepernick. That's ludicrous. But, you know, that's a real issue, and that's one they got to figure out. But those who are, like, saying the sky is falling in the NFL, I mean, you know, there was a lot of negative coverage this week about how the games were down from last year. But think about it. An average of 35 million people still watch that Vikings incredible finish. Name one other thing in this country that you can get 35 million people to agree on for a three-hour period. And that's why I think those who sort of question, like, or sort of throw the thesis out there that the NFL is in some free fall, you're just crazy. And then this week you'll see those games are going to be in the 40 million. So even if they're down from last year, again, I would ask people, name one other commodity in this country where you can get 43 million people to do the same thing at the same time. And that's why the NFL sort of continues, in my opinion, to have leverage over the TV networks.
Yep. Well, I'll say this. I do think that they need to work on the atmosphere, because they can't change that, even if the product is still king of the hill or king of the mountain. Because, you know, you just – a lot of these places – I mean, the Titans' last two games of the season were here, and they were a very, very meaningful game against playoff teams, and there were 25,000 empties. That's a problem.
Yep.
I mean, that's a real problem.
I agree.
And to me, Richard, getting rid of PSLs – we're in 2018. The NFL, that's a joke. It's an insult to everybody. Get rid of these stupid PSLs and stop charging people to buy your season tickets. That's ridiculous to have a fee.
I agree with you. Get rid
of that. The other thing is the charging people full price for preseason games are ridiculous. Make it $30 lower bowl, $20 upper bowl, whatever. Grow your fan base. Get people that can't afford games on Sundays in the regular season. Get them out to these preseason games, and you might turn them into fans, but charging people full price is a joke.
I agree with everything you just said. That's all well said. The last thing I would say is this. Some of this will turn out to be cyclical, and you have to hope if you're the NFL you get lucky. The league historically, if you just go back to when all of us were kids, or even if you were born in 1989, you know this. How does the league market its games nationally? Quarterback versus quarterback. Manning versus Brady. Staubach versus Bradshaw. Elway versus Aikman. Brady versus Rodgers. That's how the league promotes, which is a smart thing. That's the most important position in football, and it's probably the most famous or important position in sports. What they really need is an influx of young quarterbacks to come into the league who have star power and draw. And if you look at the rosters over the last 2 years, there have been too many games where it is just – It's unmarketable quarterback X versus unmarketable quarterback Y. No disrespect to Case Keenum and Nick Foles. Obviously, Case Keenum's had an incredible career. But that is a little bit of the NFL's problem in a nutshell. That is a hard game to promote just on face of the two quarterbacks playing. The NFL will get lucky because so many people will have seen that Vikings last play that I think people are really curious about the Vikings. Vikings could play at home in the Super Bowl. But that's a major issue for them. There are three, in my opinion, quarterbacks playing in the championship game round that are essentially, in my opinion, unmarketable to a national audience. And that is ratings killer. If you flip that and put Manning, Rodgers, Brady, and,
Breeze.
Phil Rivers. Breeze. Trust me on that. That is, to me, that is a 5 million to 7 million swing up, because all those people are household names that a casual fan would have heard of. And that's where I hope the NFL, I shouldn't say I hope, I don't care, whatever happens, but if you are in the NFL, I think you have to hope that you get, for the next 3 to 4 years, like Carson Wentz, Jared Goff type. That is, in my opinion, what you really need. You need to find your next level of Brady, Manning, and Rodgers, because the league, if you look on a week-to-week basis, Tyrod Taylor versus, you know, Nick Foles is not gonna bring some fan in from another city to watch your game.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, good stuff as always. Have a great rest of your week. We'll do it again next week.
See you guys.
Go check out his stuff. Richard Deitch, author of The Media Circus. He also does a great podcast with Sports Illustrated. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next.